then nothing can stop the church. At home, in your room, in your closet, nothing can stop the church. The building is not the church. It is the people. We are the church. Come on, tell your child or tell somebody, your husband, somebody sitting next to you at home, we are the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Fix this echo, please. We have the church. Hallelujah. Amen. So we welcome you all and we pray God's blessings upon every one of you in Jesus' mighty name. Straight away, we're going to go into the word of God this morning. Ask your neighbor, what do you see? Come on, ask somebody at home, what do you see? Well, if there's nobody, if you live alone, perchance you live alone, now ask yourself, what am I seeing? You know, well, right now, it's as if the entire world is on shutdown. It's as if everything has gone to, quiet mode, stealth mode. And so what are you seeing? Are you seeing depression? Are you seeing sadness? Are you seeing lack? What are you seeing? Are you seeing yourself being punished? You know, some people have said, well, it is God punishing. Let me say this, God is not the author of confusion. Let us not put on God what God has not done. Hallelujah. God is not punishing us. If anything, God is drawing us closer unto himself because he's a merciful father. So turn your ears off to the negative and open your ears up to the positive. And that's why this morning I want to talk quickly on what do you see? What are you seeing? Turn with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 15. We're going to do a few scripture reading this morning as we preach the word of God together. So I need you to open your Bibles at home. If it's on your phone, open it. And then let's read the word of God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 15 from verse 1 to 6, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said unto him, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. And so, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand this morning, O God. We come into your word in humility. We ask, Father, that you speak to us. It is your word. Anything not of you in this message this morning, Father, take it away, O God. Let everything that is of you, let it be delivered to your people, O God. Let every one of us, from the smallest, Lord, to the oldest, let us be blessed, O God. Lord, I pray for all of our audience online right now. Father, open their ears, open their hearts, and deliver your word unto them, O God, today. Father, take away every fear, and in place plant faith, O God. Glorify your name, mighty God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, here we see the story of Abraham. This is a man that God loved, a man that God used greatly to prepare so many things that we are enjoying right now. But at a point in time in his life, this man looked and he looked at God and he said, listen, I don't have nothing. Said, I don't even have a son to continue from me. Remember, before this time, God had already promised him. God had said he will make him the father of all nations. And the man began to grow old. And he looked around. What he could see physically was that he had no heir. He had no child. You know, like most of us now, we can look out, we can look around us. We are like, Lord, there is nothing. Everything is shut down. Some people don't have income. Some people can barely stock up at home right now. And they're like, Lord, there is nothing. And some people are seeing the negative side of what is happening. And so Abraham also began to see what his so-called reality was bringing forth to him. And that was the fact that he had no child. And he began to talk to God. Now, this is one thing I love about Abraham. Abraham was not known to be a man that complains. Rather, Abraham is known to be a man that constantly has his own conversation with God. He goes forth and he's like, okay, God, let's talk. And so in this situation also, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. And remember this, every time God shows up, it is always fear not. So tell yourself, fear not. That every time God shows up, it is fear not. If something shows up claiming to be God and makes you afraid, it is not God. The first thing God comes to you when he wants to talk to you is he takes away and he drives away all fear so that he can communicate with you. And so when he came unto Abraham, he said, fear not. And he began to pronounce his blessings, his promises. And he says, I am thy shield. God said, I'm your covering. He said, you have nothing to be afraid of. Whatever you have seen, whatever your situation is dictating to you, don't be afraid. I am your shield. I'm your defense. He says, and I am your exceeding great reward. Not just a reward, exceeding great reward. That means a reward that passes a reward. A reward that is greater than your expectation. God says, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. God began to drive out fear from Abraham by putting in his promises. This morning I tell you, listen, if your heart begins to doubt and fret, just go into the word of God and begin to load up the promises of God into your life. Begin to see what God sees. Begin to decree what God is saying about you. Begin to tell yourself, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of sound mind. Begin to tell yourself, you are an overcomer in Christ. Do not agree with what the enemy brings your way. And so God shows up to Abraham and tells him, fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, listen, now you can see that Abraham is a man that converses with God. After God had said that, Abraham now said, okay, Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? He said, well, the reason why I'm afraid is because I don't have a child and I'm growing old. So what will you give me seeing that I don't have a child? And he continues with that and he says, the steward of my house. Now look at it. Abraham had already, in his own thoughts, with the imaginations of his head and mind, he had already calculated that, well, since he has no child, the heir, his servant, was going to inherit his house. He had already caged God in a box. Most of us, because of our situation and circumstances, we cage God. We are like, well, it is impossible for God to give me a child now that I'm 90. Well, I better look at the alternative. What is the alternative? Okay, this servant has been with me all along. He has been faithful, so he will inherit everything. And so he caged God. And so he goes on, and Abraham continues still talking. You know, God now kept quiet. God wanted him to hear out what was in his mind. God wanted him to express all the negativity that was there before God would cleanse it out. And Abraham said, behold, thou hast given me no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Now, after he had said that and he had concluded, verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Let me say this to somebody this morning. Whatever, however bad that your situation is, that will not be the end of your portion in Jesus' name. That is not your end in the name of Jesus. Your story will not end that way. Your story will not end in death without sickness. Your story will not end in debt without situation. Your story will not end in lack in that situation. In the name of Jesus, your story will not end in shame in the mighty name of Jesus. And so God said unto him, listen, this shall not be thine heir. This will not be your portion. But he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels. Let me say this. God talking to Abraham was telling him that which will come forth out of your own bowels. Now, in the physical, the bowel of Abraham was going to produce a child. But in the spiritual, for you, guess what will come out of your bowel? The word of God that proceeds out of your mouth. What you say that comes forth out of you is what you're going to get. So I need you from today to begin to change your confessions. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. See what God sees in every situation that comes your way. Disagree with the devil, agree with God, and declare the mind of God. And so he says unto him, it shall not be thine head, but he that shall comfort out of thy own bowels shall be thine head. And he brought, now, it is not enough to say. After he had said, God said, listen, I know, because what has happened now is, you have seen in your mind that Eliezer was going to inherit your kingdom. He says, now I need to change what you have seen, not only by what you say, but by physical sight. And so God said, come, let's go outside. Let's begin the process of erasing the negativity that you have seen and you have agreed with. And so in verse 5, God brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Wow, God is good. God brought him outside in the evening and he said, now start telling the stars. 1, 2, start counting. I don't know where Abraham counted to. Maybe 1,000. Maybe, I have no idea. But it got to a point where he lost count. Do you understand? And so shall the blessings and the miracles of God in your life be in Jesus' name. It got to a point, he lost count. And God said, now that you have lost count and you know it is uncountable, God says, so shall be your kids, your children, people that will be named after you. And that's why up to today, we call ourselves what? Children of Abraham. Children of Abraham. So he has a legacy that has outlived him thousands of years, and he's still going. For as long as this world remains, people will still be called children of Abraham. See the fulfillment of God's promise there. And so God told him, so shall thy seed be. Now look at the important part there. And he believed. Hello, people. Are you believing? The word of God will not come alive until you believe. You have to tell yourself, I need to believe. I must believe. And that's what Abraham did. As God showed him the stars, and as he counted the stars, and he could not number them, guess what? He said, Lord, and God said, so be it. And Abraham believed everything God said. So you also need to believe what God is saying. And it shall be counted, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, write down this point if you can. Number one, you have to see what God is saying for you to receive it. You have to see what God is saying for you to receive it. If you cannot see it, guess what? It will be difficult for you to receive. It is like, you're not seeing what God is saying. It's like somebody that gets in his car, that comes out of his house and says, I'm going out, get in his car and has no particular destination. He has no target that is set for him as to, this is where I'm going. He just gets inside the car and he starts driving. Hello? That person will end up somewhere. But it will not be where that person needs to be. That is what happens. But when you get up and you decide, well, I am going to this place, I'm going to church, I'm going to the bank, I'm going to the office, and you get in your car, guess what? You have a place that is set. You've already seen the destination you're going to. And because you have seen it, guess what? When you start, if there is traffic on the way, you can take other roads, access roads, back roads, highways. You can navigate yourself, but you still head towards that destination you knew you were going. But if you were going nowhere and you encounter traffic on the way, the probabilities that you might want to sit in that traffic and enjoy the traffic, or you might just want to branch off and then turn back and go back home, because initially you did not set out to go somewhere. And so that's why it is important to see what God is saying. Number two, you know, in this season that we're in right now, that the whole world is in stealth mode, see this time as your season of rest. Come on, tell yourself, I need this rest. I need it. See this time as your season of rest. Stay at home. Stay at home and rest. You know, some of us cannot stay at home. We just can't sit still. You sit down for about 30 minutes. You want to get out of that house badly. Listen, pinch yourself in the butt and sit down in your house. Stay at home. See it as your season of rest. The Bible said God walked. He walked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Your body needs to rest. Your mind needs to rest. Every part of you needs this rest. So take it as God making you rest. God rejuvenating your body. Rest. Stay at home. So see this time as a season of rest. Number three, see this time as a time of fellowship with God. Remember all your excuses for not praying. Oh, Lord, I have to be at work at 7. So you wake up at 6:30, take 25 minutes to get ready, and 5 minutes to drive to work, and you're like, Lord, you know I just had to hurry. Now you're not hurrying anywhere. Take time and fellowship with God. You have no excuse anymore. All the excuse that has kept you going, thinking that, well, because of this, because of that, that's why you're not doing the spiritual things you are supposed to do. Now those have been taken care of for you. You are not rushing to work early in the morning. You have 24 hours at home now. Plan it accordingly. Some of you still have to work at home. Guess what? Work at home all day, but plan your time to spend with God. Take this time as a season of fellowship with God. Number three, you know, I love this so much. For everyone that is married, that has a family, take this time as a season of bonding with your family. You know, I have a cousin, you know, many years ago when we were growing up, I would go to his house, and when his kids are playing and the boys are playing rough, he would just take his car keys, he's out of the house. And I'll ask him, hey, bro, where are you going? He said, these kids are going to kill themselves. He said, and I cannot stand here and watch them kill themselves. So I would rather go out. So he will escape the house so that he will not see the kids injure themselves, or so to say. But now, for those of you who have boys, God bless you. Deal with it. Tell yourself, I have to deal with it. Especially those of you who have not been there for your kids growing up, this is the time to pay back what you have missed. Be there with them. Spend time with them. Let it be a time of bonding in families. This is also a season that God is restoring families. Let your family be amongst the ones that God will restore in this season that we are in. Have time with your family. Spend time with your children. Number five. Now, see this time also as a time of self-evaluation. It is time to evaluate yourself. Your performance, whatever it is you have been doing, it is time to evaluate yourself. Score yourself. You have time. You have time. Sit down and look at yourself. Okay, where am I? Where is God taking me? Am I on the right track? Am I doing the things I'm supposed to be doing? Am I living in sin? Listen, evaluate yourself. Take this time to evaluate yourself. And then the last point on this particular text, it says, see this as a period of returning to the Lord. If you look at all the above and you see anything that is missing, this is the time of repentance. This is the season of repentance. This is you saying, falling on your face and saying, Father, forgive me. Lord, I see my wrong. Restore me back unto you, God. Restore me back unto my family. Restore me back, oh God. And just pray that prayer of restoration. And the Lord will restore you in this season in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, turn with me quickly to the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 23 to 25. The Bible says, so he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Remember what I'm talking about this morning is, what do you see? Here we see a man that came before the Lord and God healed him. And when Jesus had healed him the first time, guess what? The Bible said he saw men as trees. If he had run away from God, say, hey, I can see. And he's seen men as trees, his vision will never be complete. Are you listening to me? His vision will never be complete. Because he was seeing men as trees. He was not seeing clearly. Many of us will receive half the message from God and we start running. And oh, wait until the message is full before you run with it. Or else you'll be delivering message that is filled with men as trees as against men that are real men. And that's what this man saw. He saw men as trees. So I tell you, see clearly. Tell yourself, Lord, I need to see clearly. Another set of people that saw but did not see what was right before God corrected it. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 to 17. This is the story of Elisha and Gehazi and when they were on the mountain. Bible says, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. Let me give us the background story here quickly. This was a man of God, and the king in his palace was having a conversation with his generals. And he said, everything we plan in this palace, before we execute it, somebody reveals it to the Israelites, and they know our plan. Said, so the king was like, there is a traitor amongst you people here. And one of them said, my lord, there is no traitor among us. Said, there is a prophet in Israel. Everything you think you do, he knows. He said, the man knows before you plan it, he knows. And so the king said, really? He said, okay, go and bring me that man. So he dispatched his generals, his army. He said, go and find him and bring him to me. And so his army now came. They came to the city where he was and to the mountain where he was. And then the following began to happen. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night, and they compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Hallelujah. Let me start with the points before I read the entire storyline. The point one I have here says, when you start your day without the Lord, you can only see what the enemy is doing. When you start your day without the Lord, you can only see what the enemy is doing. And that's what happened to Gehazi. His master was still inside. He came out. The Bible said he went before his master. And when he went, all he saw was the enemy that they had surrounded them, and he was like, we are done. The only thing he saw was the strength of the enemy. For 1 minute, he didn't say anything about God. And that's because he started without God. And that's why it is important as believers, however it is, please, never you start your day without asking God to go ahead of you. Don't assume. A simple prayer of saying, Father, thank you for waking me up. This is another beautiful day. Lord, lead me today. It can do so much more than for you just to assume and step out into that day all by yourself in your own strength. Step into every day in the strength of God. So when you start your day without the Lord, you can only see what the enemy is doing. Also, when you break your connection to your covering, you will only see what the enemy is doing. There is a covering over you. The covering over this man was Elisha, the man of God. At that point in time, he went before the covering. He stepped out of the covering. And because he stepped out of the covering, he saw nothing pertaining to God, but only what the enemy was doing. And then number three, when you trust in your own ability and strength, you will only see In fact, you will see the magnitude. You will see what other word can I use? How big that problem is. That's all you will see. You will never see what God is doing or how capable your God is. So after he had seen this thing, and he ran back to his master and said, "Master, there is trouble. What shall we do?" And then in verse 16, and you know, he still answered. And he said, the master now, Elisha now began to talk to him, said, and he answered, "Fear not." Tell yourself again, fear not. Come on, at home, tell yourself, fear not. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." The first thing the servant of God said was, listen, what you have seen, what you are imagining, let me erase it with the word of God. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. That's what Elisha said first. And then he goes on. He says, now Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes. Your eyes will remain shut until you see the Lord." Your eyes will remain shut until you have spent time with the Lord. You will only see what your adversity is pushing, what your adversary is pushing your way. You will not see God pushing back on your adversary. And that's why it is important to open your eyes. And so God, and Elisha prayed, "God, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes, and the young man, eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full. The mountain was full of horses and chariots. Chariots of fire round about Elisha. Horses and chariots of fire. What the enemy gathered together was so insignificant to what God already has in place. Because God already had in place chariots, horses, an entire defense mechanism and attack mechanism. God was already ready to do battle on their behalf. And he already had defense already in place for them. But the guy did not see the attack mechanism of God and the defense mechanism of God. He only saw what the enemy had prepared to attack them. But when God opened his eyes and he saw, he was like, "Ha ha, wow." You know, I can imagine him at that point in time jumping and saying, "Come here, come on, let's fight." Because now he knew that they that are with them are so much more than they that were against them. And every time you trust God, that is exactly what happens. Those that are with you, the angels of God that are waiting for you to issue commands, they are so much more powerful and so much more, you know, so much more than what the enemy is bringing your way. Now listen to this point under this scripture this morning. In every situation, there is always more of God on your side than you can imagine. There is always more of God on your side than you can imagine. For as long as you are a child of God, there is so much more. And that's why the scriptures declare that no matter what comes your way, you will be victorious. It says, all things work together for good. Everything will work together for your good. Your enemy will work together for your good. Your friends will work together for your good. Situations will work together for your good. Everything around you, within you, they will work together for your good. Because you love God and you are called according to his purpose. So every situation, there is always more of God on your side than you can imagine. Number two, the storm of the enemy is the force that is required to get you to the next level. The storm that the enemy is raging is the force that is required for you to get to the next level. Let me show you this. That city may not have experienced Elisha a lot. They may not have seen him as a man of God. They may not have experienced him. But when Elisha was done, Elisha took the army and he prayed blindness upon all of them. And he led them to the city center. And he brought them before the king. And he said, "Sit down." He said, "This is where you're going." He now called the king. And the king said, "My father, oh, should I kill all of them?" Because he was like, "Well, indeed you are a man of God. They never fought with these people, and Elisha single-handedly delivered the army of Samaria unto the king. All of them blind, he delivered them there." And Elisha said, "No, you will not kill them." He said, feed them. Wow. Look at the way God works. He said, feed them. He said, after you have fed them, he said, send them back to their master. But that day, the glory and the grace that was upon the life of Elisha was made known in that entire region. It was made known because God, the storm that the enemy brought his way to capture him, God used that storm even to lift him up to the next level. Number three, in the midst of most storms, you're already covered, even though you may not see it. Do you understand me? You're already covered. Jesus was in the storm. But you know, as much as a storm rocked the boat, Jesus slept like a baby until they woke him up rudely. And he looked at the storm and he said, no, you are not my problem. It is the wind that is driving you that is disturbing me. He said, you wind, peace be still. That was all he said. All he said. So no matter the storm that is coming your way, you're already covered. You are divinely covered. When the children of Israel were in Goshen, in the land of Egypt, and the angel of death was going to come over the land, the entire land, God said, take a lamb, kill a lamb, and take the blood and put it on your doorpost. He said, at midnight, when the angel of death will pass by, when he will see that blood, he will not stop where he sees the blood. And the children of Israel obeyed. And at midnight, the angel of death did indeed pass by and went upon all the houses in Egypt and killed all the firstborn, firstborn human, firstborn animals, and killed every one of them. But the Bible said, in Goshen, not a dog could wag its tail. It says there was no house that was affected by that because the blood of Jesus was their covering. So whatever situation is going on, you are covered. Do you understand? Just pour the blood upon yourself spiritually. I'm not asking you to go and kill a lamb and pour the blood of a lamb. Jesus has already paid the price. Lay your hand upon yourself and say, I plead the blood of Jesus. That's all it takes. You don't need to go and pour any blood. Hallelujah. You are covered by the blood of Jesus because he paid the ultimate price for you. You know, Gehazi saw the strength of the enemy because Gehazi represented a type of the physical. Elisha saw the strength of God because he represented the spiritual. The physical will always show you what is impossible. The physical will always show you what is impossible. The spiritual will always show you how possible it is. You see the difference? One will show you impossible. One will show you possibility. Where you stand determines what you see. If you stand with God, you will see possibilities. If you stand with men, you will see impossibilities. Lastly, as I begin to close, one more scripture, Exodus 13:17. The Bible said, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Let me say this to us quickly. Whichever direction God is leading you, please go. Don't cut corners. Don't take shortcuts. God knows you cannot handle what is around the corner. God knows you cannot handle the shortcut that you want to take. And that's why in this particular scenario, God said, let me lead them along this path. Because if they go through the shorter path, they will see wars and their heart will fail and they will want to return back to Egypt. Do you understand? No matter how spiritual you are, there is a level of grace that is upon your life. There are certain things that you can do and you cannot do. So watch what you say. Watch what you do. Stay where God wants you and do exactly what he has commanded you to do. And I close with this saying this morning, in life, there will always be the chariot of the enemy and chariots and horses of the Lord around you. But listen to this, you will only get the one that you succumb to. Who have you succumbed to? As for me and my house, we have succumbed to the Lord. we have decided we are going to follow Jesus all the days of our lives. We have given our lives over to Jesus. Have you? Before I close this morning, I want to give you that wonderful opportunity. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today is a good day for that. You are at home with your family all by yourself. No human being is there with you, only your family, but God is there with you. I just want you to say this prayer out loud in faith with me. Right there at home. Just go on your knees or stand up just to reverence God. Put your hand on your chest and say after me, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I have been a sinner, but I do not want to remain one. I confess my sins today and I repent of them. Jesus, come into my life. Be my personal Lord and Savior. I give my life to you today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That's all it takes to be born again. You have everything you need right now. You know, and I just want to advise you, find a Bible-believing church. Or you can join us for the following, for the next couple of weeks. And even after all of this is lifted, we'll always be online. Just go to our website, jgc.church, and all the information you need about us will be there. And the Lord will bless you mightily, you and yours, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not done with service yet. We're not done. You know, we're still going to pray, and the choir is going to sing a song for us, a song of prayer as we pray this morning. And we just want to pray over the land. We want to pray over the people. We want to bless you. We want to bless your family. We want to cover your people. In particular, we want to pray for our first responders. We want to pray for the doctors, for the nurses, for the first responders. Everyone that is out there leading the fight against this coronavirus. We want to commit them into the hands of God, and we just want to pray. We want to pray over them. So I want you to join us even as we bless them in this time of prayers. Please don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. Those of you online, we're not done. Like I said, please be here. And after we're done with that, we're going to come and take up our tithe and our offering. And the Lord will bless you mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I have you guys up, please? Choir, come on. Let's come up. Let's do it. Let's do it quickly. Hallelujah. At home, online, please just rise up and let's sing this song together. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be glorious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That is the lyric of the song. That's what it says. And let's sing it together in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're just going to worship the Lord this morning and take his word that this week you go with the fact that he will bless you and keep you and your family and your children and their children. The Lord will just be with you and give you peace through the week, through the months, no matter what you're going through. Amen. Continue in that spirit of worship, hallelujah, and just begin to thank him for the next week, hallelujah, begin to thank him for being such a great God, hallelujah. Thank you. before you, hallelujah. Believe that no matter what the situation is, no matter what you are going through, no matter what the world may look like right now, that our God is for us. His favor is upon us for generations and generations to come. Because he is an awesome God, hallelujah. He is an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. So just let him know how much you love him. Let him know how much you trust him. Hallelujah.
May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and the children, and the children.
May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you.
Hallelujah. He is still with you. Hallelujah. He says 10,000 may fall at your right and 10,000 at your left. Hallelujah. And not one of them will touch you. Hallelujah. Just begin to give him the worship that he deserves. Hallelujah.
Children's children, and upon your generation. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lindstream. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, as we close service this afternoon, let me encourage you also to give. The bills continue to come in, even though everything is online. So I want to encourage you to give your tithe and your offering. If you go back to our website, jgc.church, And then you'll see the donate button on the front page of the website. Please give your tithe, give your offering, and the Lord will bless you mightily in Jesus' name. Let me pray over you as you give. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord Almighty, for your word that has gone forth today. Lord, we ask, O God, that even as your children will respond to your word, even by giving their tithe and their offering, I ask, O God, that you rebuke the devourer for their sakes, and you open the windows of heaven and you pour out your blessings. I pray seed unto the sower, bread unto the eater, and I pray hundredfold return upon every seed that is sown. Father, I pray also for those who don't have in this season. My Lord and my God, I pray you will provide for them. Lord, not only provide for them, Lord, I pray, lead us even unto those who don't have, that we might be a blessing to them, O God. Glorify your name, mighty God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.